Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to everybody here for our Good Friday service. As you well know, for Christians, this is a big deal. It's a big day. Sunday's even a little bit bigger day, but Good Friday's a pretty big day, too. So today we're going to skip the greeting, the meet and greet. I think we all kind of know everybody here, and just go straight on to worship. Then I'm going to share a little bit from the Word, and then we're going to do communion together. Because, I mean, nothing says Christ's resurrection and what it means for us in our past and us in our future like the communion table, the table of celebration. So we're going to finish up there today. So, worship team, lead us right to the throne.
Amen.
Thank you.
serve my King forever in that holy place.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We're so grateful that you did send your Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, who came in the form of a man, who lived a perfect life, who died in a perfect state, completely sinless, died completely for 3 days. He was dead. And then you, by your glory and the power of the Holy Spirit, you raised him up to new life. And he is the first man, the example for all of us. As we celebrate Easter weekend, Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, Father, it's with that in mind, the totality of who Jesus was, who he is, and who he continues to be for our eternity. We just celebrate your great love that caused all this to happen. Lord, I saw the verse of the day today on one of the Bible software programs was John 3:16, the probably the most well-known verse in all the Bible. For you so loved us that you gave your one and only Son, so that any of us, whosoever, would believe in Jesus Christ, you gave us the privilege that by faith we could become sons and daughters of you. And Lord, I know I paraphrased it, but that's really what it is all about. That's what this whole weekend's all about. You made a way where we certainly couldn't make a way. It was impossible for us. Absolutely, positively, no chance at all. And yet you made a way, a super highway for all of us to be able to come through Jesus Christ, to have a living relationship with you, to be your son and your daughter, Lord. We thank you and praise you for that. As we look at your word today, Lord, would you please strengthen our faith in you? Would you expand our faith in you? Would you please speak to us spirit to spirit so that we're actually strengthened in our inner man to love you and to know you more? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. If you have your Bible with you, can you turn with me to Luke chapter 22, please? Luke 22. Yep. We're going to start at verse 14, Luke chapter 22. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And those verses, you might be wondering why I'm sharing those verses on Good Friday. Well, Good Friday is known as the day that Jesus died. But it's also a day that he paints eternity through the kingdom of God for me. Because up until now, in this time, when Jesus had the last Passover with the 12 disciples, they've been doing the Passover for approximately 3,400 years. And so the Passover for, like most of us that we're not Jewish, the Passover wouldn't mean much. But for these guys, this was one of the biggest times all year was the Passover. They had three great feasts, and the Passover was the greatest feast. So the reason Jerusalem was so packed at this time when Jesus went to the cross was because of the Passover. And so the Passover is like, it's the account of God's faithfulness to people, You could be saved through faith in the shedding of blood, through faith in God and his promised Messiah. Up to this very meal. Every single Passover was that. And then Jesus starts this thing, and I'm sure the 12 that were sitting at the table with Jesus, when he told them these things and started saying, this is my body, this is my blood, and so I'm sure they didn't have the foggiest idea what he was talking about. They didn't get it yet, that in 2 days he was going to give his, well, that day he was going to give his body and his blood was going to be shed, and then the proof that that was paid in full was he's going to come back to life. Well, the Passover was all about that. You guys remember the Passover? The original Passover was when God sent Moses in to talk to Pharaoh. There was 10 different plagues and calamities. And finally, the last one was God told Moses, tell the people of Israel to take a lamb, a pure, spotless lamb, perfect lamb, which represented sinlessness, a perfect lamb of God, and you're going to cut it. You're going to cut its throat. You're going to kill it. You're going to bleed it. You're going to take its blood. Wait for it. You're going to take its blood, and you're going to dip this package of hyssop in it, and you're going to paint your doorposts, and you're going to paint your windows with the blood of a lamb. And, of course, we've heard this story hundreds of times. We thought about it for decades. Not a big deal. That's how it went. But think how bizarre that was to the first group of people. We're going to do what with this? Why would we do that? Well, because God wants you to know by faith that the shed blood of an innocent lamb will get your sins forgiven. Okay, I don't maybe understand all this stuff, but I trust God. I believe God. I'm going to put my faith in God, and I'm going to do this. And so they did. Maybe not all of them didn't do it, but millions did. Millions took a lamb. They cut his throat. They took the blood out. They took the hyssop. They dipped it in. They painted the bars, the top, and the sides of the door, and they painted around their windows. Then they took the lamb, and they roasted the lamb. They ate the lamb with leaven-free bread. That's why a lot of times we take bread, leaven-free bread now. That's what the whole point was back there for them, was leaven was, it usually was an illustration for sin. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. So they said, make bread, don't put any leaven in it. You're going to sit down, you're going to eat this lamb with your clothes on, because when God says go, you're going to get up and go. You're going to be ready to go. So this whole faith of we're going to trust God for him to send a Messiah someday, and that promise will be kept year by year through the faith and the blood. And so that's what Good Friday was for the Jewish people at that time when Jesus went through all of his stuff. And by stuff, I mean, wow, the garden, the courts, the beatings, the scourgings, the cross, all the humiliation, getting spit on, name calling, the most horrible death anybody, I think, to this day has ever lived would be the death of Jesus Christ. And I know many people have been tortured to death. People have been starved to death. I understand all that. But what no other human being could do or ever had done to them was the sin of the world put on them. Now, all of us are used to sin. All of us have had sin in our life every day we've been alive. We're used to it. We might not like it. We're on a crash diet trying to break it off of us and do as little as we possibly can. But I'm here to tell you, every one of us is still sinning every single day we're alive. We need a Savior. We need one today. not just 23 years ago or whatever we want to talk about. Jesus never sinned once. Not once. And he took your sin and my sin and all the sin of the world placed on him all at once. Do you know how horrible that must have been? For someone perfectly sinless that knew what purity was to be defiled like that. So today I want to just kind of put this link between the sovereign loving God, who a lot of people, especially unbelievers, have this picture of God the Father, who is the strict law keeper. And he's kind of like sitting there in heaven with one leg raised. And as soon as you break one more rule, bow, I gotcha. I knew I could send you to hell for some reason. And then there's this mushy, gushy Jesus that's just all sloppy grace. And he just loves everybody, whether you have faith in him or not, whether you live like you're going to hell or not. He just loves you. So there's no reason to change because Jesus loves everybody. Right? Both of those are inaccurate pictures. And the communion table, especially the communion table that Jesus shared with the 12 that last day, it hooks both of these together perfectly. So when they were going to celebrate Passover, they'd been doing it for 3,400 years, give or take a decade, at the time Jesus celebrated it with them. It was proof to Israel, to all Jewish people, that God could forgive sins by faith in shed blood. Again, we're so used to this, it's not a big deal. But before God did this for the Israelites, it was unheard of. You served gods by killing your kids for gods, by having a big bonfire and throwing your newborn baby into it. That's how you worshiped your God, many of the nations around Israel. All of a sudden, this God comes with the idea that he'll send a Messiah for you. Just love him and he'll love you. What? Whoa. For the first 200 years after Jesus' resurrection, the first 200 years, they always celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus on Passover Day. Isn't that amazing? First 200 years. For the Jewish Christians, it was just the same thing. It was the fulfillment. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Passover. The Father meets the Son in the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is what we celebrate, the one day of the year. It was everything to them. Constantine, you guys might have heard of Constantine. He was about 400 years after Christ. He declared that Easter would be celebrated on the first Sunday after Passover. So that's kind of a brief history, how we ended up where we're at now. It was also added in there then on some of the other newer calendars, so there's moon cycles wrapped into it. I honestly studied it. I looked it up. I started typing it out. It's so complex, I didn't have a chance of saying it accurately to you. So if you want, if you're really curious, Google that sucker, and you'll be smarter than me. So the meal that Jesus did, this is symbolic of what Jesus did. This bread has leaven in it. So when you go up here and you see it and you go, what was he talking about? No, this is leavened bread. But when Jesus celebrated with the 12, it was the same as they'd been doing for 3,400 years. It was leavenless, leaven-free. I don't know how you use their term now. It didn't have no leaven in it, okay? And so the main things in this meal, in the Passover meal, which they called the Seder meal, S-E-D-E-R, Seder meal, was unleavened bread, wine, and the lamb. But we don't have no lamb up here. I think Jesus might have had lamb in their meal. I'm not sure. But the wine, which is the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, is what was always symbolic in that meal. The unleavened bread was always symbolic about being sinless in our relationship with God, pursuing a leavenless life with God. And then the lamb, every year, a spotless lamb was killed for the celebration of the Passover, every single year, to celebrate the Passover, which was the spirit of death passed over your house because you were covered by the blood of the lamb. It don't get much plainer than that for symbolism, amen? I mean, what are we counting on for the spirit of death passing over us? When we die, and our flesh is going to die for sure, absolutely. But guess what? I'm covered by the blood of the lamb. My name's written in the lamb's book of life. That spirit of death that can kill my flesh cannot touch my spirit, amen? It's awesome. So that same meal, that same Passover is what Jesus is celebrating at this table with the 12. So now let's take another look at those verses that we just started on. With that kind of a background and just kind of keeping that in mind, now let's go back and read out of Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 18. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I don't think they knew what he meant by suffer. But I think it's really big that Jesus was super excited. Fervently is like to burn with the hunger. You want this so bad. He fervently desired to eat this Passover. Why this Passover? Because this was the last one before he gets to die and redeem all of us, which is why he was on the planet in the first place. He was excited about this weekend. It was going to be horrendous, and he was super excited about the joy that was set before him. So he says, "With fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine until the kingdom comes. So they shared that cedar meal, looking back at the Passover. I mean, just think of the history of Passover. For us in America, it's about the same as 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and our birthdays, all wrapped together in one holiday. That's kind of what it would be. Because for Passover, it was a national holiday. It was a religious holiday. It was a family holiday. It's where everybody gathered to just really celebrate that they were the nation that knew the living God. This is a day that we celebrate that. We have a God that saves us. Yes. Amen. So they shared this meal looking back at the Passover. They shared the cedar meal looking for the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Because of all the people on the planet ever, the Jews and the Christians believe in a kingdom that's coming, that has a pure, holy king that's going to lead us, that's going to come back and get us and bring us into his holy kingdom in a fulfillment of every single promise that's in his Bible. Whew, come on. So he says, look it, I'm glad because this is the biggest Passover ever. I'm super glad because this is the last time I'm doing it until I do it in the kingdom that comes. What confidence, what assurance, what faith that must have gave them when Jesus said that. This is the last time I'm doing it with you guys until we're in the kingdom. Now, I think maybe some of them were thinking, oh, praise God, hallelujah, this dude's just about to pick up a sword. He's just about to kick these filthy Romans out of here, and we're going to have the kingdom right here. Next week, we're partying here. Cool. And that's not quite how it went. Now look at this. The Lord's Supper is instituted. Verse 19. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. They shared the cedar meal, and Jesus proclaimed himself to be the Passover lamb for all time. Wow. Talk about a communion meal. Talk about taking communion together. Jesus, the one who we celebrate, literally said, this is me. This is symbolic of me. I'm about to give this body for you guys. I'm about to shed my blood for you guys. Wow. He says, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And so they shared the cedar meal. Jesus proclaimed himself to be the Passover lamb for all time. And they participated in the first communion. They were thinking they were celebrating Passover. But somewhere towards the end of that meal, it shifted from a Passover meal to a communion. That's what we're going to celebrate today. Even though it's Passover time, the Jews are celebrating the Passover right around now at the same time. This is communion for us. Now, Passover, yeah, that's awesome. Praise God, hallelujah, part of our heritage. But communion is so much better in my mind. Because communion celebrates Jesus Christ himself giving himself up for you, giving himself up for me. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Glenn stood up here and he says, you know, my Bible, when it says disciple, I scribble that out and I write Glenn. God so loved Glenn that he gave his only begotten. Jesus Christ gave himself up for Mike, for Joel, for Andy, for Lois, right? I mean, that's what we're really talking about. Not just billions of disciples worldwide, which is true, but the power of the gospel is a personal gospel. It's my gospel. It's my communion today. So today, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And these guys, you know, covenant would have made a lot more, would have been a much more powerful word in their time than it is for us. We don't really use covenant. But covenant is, at their time, the only way you could break covenant was basically if one of the people in the covenant died. And if a covenant was ratified with blood, it was unbreakable. And so when Jesus says, I am making this new covenant with my own blood, this is an eternal covenant. The communion table is an eternal, it's a celebration of eternal covenant to us, where the spirit of death passes over us, the Passover, and we enter into this mighty nation of believers all adopted in the family of God. Man. So today we're going to do communion together. And what we're going to do, what I'd like to do, is I'll have everybody come up and grab a juice and grab a piece of bread. Then just go back to where you're sitting. And then while we're sitting there together, I'm going to ask Jake to play a video. Then after that video, I'll get back up and we'll do communion together. Okay? So just feel free to come on up, grab a juice and bread.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sundays come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
I always like to talk about a communion. Looking back, the communion table points back to when we got saved and all that Christ did for us. It also points forward to when Christ's going to come back. And we're going to share communion with Jesus in the kingdom. He said he was going to do it with us. That's going to happen for sure. And so that's the big picture. For us right now, as we get ready to take the bread and the juice, we'll take the bread first together. I just want us to, let's take a couple seconds and just ask God's forgiveness. For any sin that you know of, I bet all of us know some stuff that we want to get better at not doing or better at doing, whatever the case may be. But let's just talk to God about that. Ask for forgiveness if you need to. Ask for help. Well, Father, as we take this bread together, this bread all came out of one loaf today. We each get a piece of that loaf. And, Lord, we know that your word says that we are all one loaf together. We're one body. So together we participate as one body as we celebrate the body of Christ that was given for us. Go ahead and take the bread. As we get ready to take the blood, the shed blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We sang earlier about it, his red blood made our sin white. But there's something even more than that. The Bible said that Jesus became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so the cross isn't just a place where our sin was put on, but it's a place of exchange where the righteousness of Christ was put on us. So as we take this blood, as we take the juice and we celebrate the blood of Jesus, let's celebrate the fact that we are washed whiter than snow now, and we have the robe of righteousness from God himself. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our heritage. We thank you for the centuries of your faithfulness to the Jews. We thank you for your centuries of faithfulness to Christians that have gone before us. We thank you, many of us thank you, for decades of your faithfulness to us. All of us can thank you literally for countless prayers you've answered, for countless times that we talked to you in prayer when we were down or discouraged or afraid, and you strengthened us. You filled us with your presence. You filled us with your peace. So today, Lord, as we celebrate Passover, communion, as we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ this weekend, we're really celebrating your great love for us, your faithfulness to us, who you are, all that you are. We love you, and we want to serve you wholeheartedly and make you glorious on this planet. Would you please fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost so that we can achieve your purpose in our lives? We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So God bless you. Hopefully we'll see you here Sunday morning at 10:30. Invite a friend or a neighbor. Like I say many times, right now things are really rough for a lot of people. A lot of people are discouraged. They're down. They're depressed. Hey, we've got the answer. We got the best answer in the world for all that stuff. Tell them to come on to church. If nothing else, it's Easter Sunday. Might as well come to church before they get with their family, right? So, and who knows, but God might not just change their everything here on Sunday morning. So God bless you, and we have game night in about 15 minutes. I imagine a lot of us are just going to wander over there right now, so if you can hang around, we'd love to see you here at game night. Bless you guys.